Welcome to Guitar Serious Fun, a podcast dedicated to enhancing your guitar journey as you offer your gifts to the Lord. I'm David Harsh, and today we're going to talk about some intentional strategies for making your gear last, especially your music gear. Speaking of gear, I'm pretty excited today because this episode marks the debut of the use of my new Blue Yeti microphone. I'm hoping it captures the nuances of my speaking voice even better than the way I was recording it previously. Here's a quick A-B comparison. This is me using the Sony PCM-D50 Professional Portable Stereo Digital Audio Recorder, which I've used for all our previous episodes until now, excluding the instructional videos for which I've used an overhead Sennheiser MKE-600 shotgun microphone. So this is my voice in the Sony PCM recorder, and this is my voice using the Blue Yeti. Do you hear a difference? Have a look at the blog version of today's episode if you want to see a photo of my new little recording setup with the Yeti. I'm not well versed in the arena of sound equalization, or EQ, so if you are, perhaps you might offer a constructive thought in the comments that will help this sound even better. But I want to give a shout out to my brother-in-law, Mark, for giving me the mic, to my friend Hollis for re-soldering it and giving it a more robust connection, to my sister-in-law, Taryn, and her family for giving me a shock mount so the signal is uninterrupted by bumps to the mic stand, to my folks-in-law, Bill and Jane, for giving me a pop filter to prevent plosives with the P's and T's that will inevitably be a part of things, and to my wife, Whitney, for ordering me the necessary cable so I can record to my computer rather than to a portable audio recorder. Many hands do make lighter work. I'm truly blessed to have this next level of gear, and I look forward to fine-tuning the mic and the room to make these episodes sound even better. Speaking of the next level of gear, let's talk about your gear today, whether it's your guitar or anything you use to make your guitar sound good out there. I have a philosophy about equipment that I learned from my father, and it's this: buy good gear and take good care of it. He's got tools, fishing gear, and more, and he usually goes the extra mile to buy a higher quality version of something, and then to take extra good care of it. Now, as we talked about in Guitar Serious Fun episode 25, is the guitar future-proof, there are some pieces of equipment that simply need to be replaced over time. But here are 10 ways to make your music gear last. Number 1. Buy the best gear you can for the longest stretch. There are certain price brackets for certain types of gear that jump significantly based on the materials they are made with. Sometimes these are the cables or the hardware we use to conduct our signal chain. Other times they are the software applications, and there's going to be a discernible difference from product to product based on cost, or even within different tiers or versions of the same product. Lastly, as you might expect, some guitars are more expensive based on the woods they are made of, and whether aspects of them are handmade, and even the name of the luthier on the headstock. Number 2. Handle your gear properly. I understand that this is probably a given, but I've seen people handle their equipment in a less than gentle manner. Exempli gratia, coiling cables. I've seen folks wrap them around their elbow like an extension cord. Wait for it. Even sound technicians at churches. This is not optimal since it can lead to faster wear and tear and a reduction in signal connectivity. Instead, I recommend the over-under method with the large wrist motion and the small finger motion. If you don't know what this is, reach out to me and I may be able to demonstrate it for you in one of my social media videos. Number 3. Encourage others to treat your gear well. I did a show once with multiple other artists, and we all had our gear on stage. I had a tuning fork carefully resting on a dish towel that was on a metal music stand, and I watched in disbelief as a drummer came up and grabbed it. Before I could speak, he said, "Don't mind if I do," and he began banging it against the top of the metal music stand. I stopped him and said, "I mind if you do. That's a very precise instrument for tuning. Can I show you how to use it?" He was a bit taken aback, but he was young and inexperienced, so I offered him a quick lesson in how I used the fork. I tapped it against my knee and also against my elbow. Bone is softer than metal, especially bone with some tissue over it. Hitting a tuning fork against metal will eventually cause it not to be able to tune as well. Other precise pieces of equipment need to be handled properly by us and others. Number 4. Transport it well. When I go on tour and I drive, I carefully stow my gear in hard cases so that nothing gets damaged. This includes my mixer that I use to mix levels from stage. Even if my gear gets carried by folks who are helping me load in or load out, the cases I use are sturdy enough to sustain being dropped. Not that I want to have any of my gear dropped, I just want to be ready for the rigors of the road. When I fly, I put fragile stickers on my hard case for my guitar, and in my suitcase, I wrap some of my more fragile equipment in some of my clothes. I even put some of my long pieces of equipment, like my violin bow and the antenna for my wireless receiver, inside capped percussion tubes called boom whackers. They serve as protective enclosures, but they're also part of my show. I love dual-purpose stuff. Anything I can do to protect my gear from being jostled about and getting damaged allows me to transport it well. Number 5. Store it well. I had an IT guy who served our family for years who described some of our laptops like saddles for horses. He said they'd been ridden hard and hung up wet. I don't know much about saddles, but if they are mostly made of leather and they're hung up wet, they might not be as responsive the next time we get them out for a ride, right? So having an instrument like a guitar put away well can be good. What does this mean? Maybe tuning it before it goes in its case or up on the wall. Maybe wiping down the neck with a cloth so that the oils in our hands don't wear down the finish of the fretboard and further oxidize the strings. In our guest expert interview, Inside Guitar Success for You, with the master luthiers of Mike Lowell's Guitar Works, they talk about how even normal play can cause wear and tear on the guitar neck simply because of the oils in our fingers. They offer several suggestions like the one I just offered. They also have some products they recommend for re-oiling the neck properly to protect it. Basically, instead of just putting the guitar in its case or on the wall, you can hang it up dry so that it's more responsive and has more longevity. Number 6. Keep it maintained. Some gear, especially instruments, does better if it's been taken to the shop occasionally. I again mention Mike Lowell's Guitar Works, the only shop I've trusted since the year 2000. They know what to do whenever I take my guitars to them. Number 7. Only adjust and repair within your ability. One more shout out to Mike Lowell's Guitar Works. I don't do anything to repair my guitars, and I don't even feel comfortable adjusting the truss rod. That may sound crazy, but that's just where I'm at. For those who like to fix and set up their own guitars, you have my respect. But because I play in so many alternate tunings and have customized electronics, a bone nut and bone saddle, and my instrument is so unique, I'd rather not be the one to adjust and repair it. That's just my preference. I love to pay people to do what they do best. I've had people ask me to work with them on capturing their music for an audio recording. That's just not what I do. I'm not a studio engineer or a producer. Instead of building out a studio of recording gear, I've instead chosen to focus on my song craft, my stage presentation, and the content creation, like what you're experiencing right now. To try to be jack of all trades, master of none, does not appeal to me. So again, I'll delegate to someone who can capably adjust and repair my gear. When it comes to Mike Lowell's Guitar Works, I really don't trust anyone else. As for cables, I met someone on my tour who does a great job with soldering and heat shrinking my cables, so I go to him to do that. Otherwise, I'd probably damage my cables if I tried. If you have someone you trust to do adjustments and repairs, even if that's yourself, great. But if you don't trust yourself, like I don't trust myself, there is strength and wisdom in delegating these tasks. Number 8, beware of dust. If an instrument is sitting out for any length of time, specifically a mixing board or a keyboard, there can be a very real possibility of getting dust in between the knobs or the keys. And dust over time leads to a faster decline of the instrument's operational capacity. All it takes is a cover to keep this from happening. I have a custom-shaped cover that stretches over and protects my keyboard. The cover I bought for my mixer is a bit smaller than the mixer itself, so I use a piece of gaff tape to hold it on, or even lay a black dishcloth over it. This works in a pinch. And as a bonus, if my gear is set up at a concert venue, having the mixer covered can keep curious hands from wanting to turn the knobs. This has happened in the past. Number 9, loan your gear out with care. There are lots of words of wisdom out there, including Polonius's soliloquy from Hamlet in Act 1, Scene 3, where he says, "Neither a borrower nor a lender be." Now, this involves money, but I'd say that these words of caution could inform whether we choose to loan our instruments or equipment out. I don't want to get too caught up in protecting my equipment that I don't have a gracious, generous spirit, but I will say that I've loaned out gear only to have it returned in worse shape than when I first had it. I loaned a prized signed DVD to someone of a live concert, and it came back heavily scratched. It still plays, but it was clearly left reading face down on a table or something. I've had other pieces of equipment borrowed and returned in less than optimal condition. I'm not trying to hold on to the past too tightly, but I do think we can learn from these kinds of experiences. I also wouldn't feel comfortable loaning out my best guitar to someone. I'm all right having them play it as I supervise, but I'm not okay with it leaving my sight for any amount of time. It's just too dear to me. Lastly, number 10, keep your gear safe. Safe is a subjective term because a measure of safety for one person may be very different from another. Some folks would say leaving your guitar in the trunk of your car in a parking lot while you go shopping is quote-unquote safe. I would not, for two reasons which you may be realizing even as I speak to you. First, if someone wants to, they could quote-unquote borrow your guitar out of your car without returning it for the rest of your life. In plain language, I'm talking about theft. I know people this has happened to. The other reason why I don't recommend leaving a guitar in your trunk is this. If it gets warm outside, so will your guitar. And if it's a particularly hot day, the glue that holds your instrument together could melt, thereby turning the instrument into firewood. Another tip I have is to take photos of your guitar so you can identify it, including the serial number. In the case that it does get stolen, and if for some reason it resurfaces in a pawn shop or an online reselling retailer, you can produce documentation of the serial number and hopefully reclaim it. These are just two tips from a special PDF and video I offer my members inside Guitar Success for You. This bonus is called 10 Ways to Keep Your Guitar Safe, and it unlocks with Lesson 12 in the Foundations stage of our success path. I encourage you to join Guitar Success for You, not just for that collection of wisdom, but also for access to an entire battle-tested success path with 6 incredible stages, plus 8 guest expert interviews that represent hundreds of years of collective wisdom, and lastly, a community of like-minded followers of Christ who are also pursuing their dreams on the guitar for the glory of God. So buy good gear and take good care of it. These are the 10 tips, one more time. Number 1, buy the best gear you can for the longest stretch. Number 2, handle your gear properly. Number 3, encourage others to treat your gear well. Number 4, transport it well. Number 5, store it well. Number 6, keep it maintained. Number 7, only adjust and repair within your ability. Number 8, beware of dust. Number 9, loan your gear out with care. And number 10, keep your gear safe. Well, I hope today's episode offered you some tangible tips to enrich your journey as a guitarist and as a musician. Our gear is essential to our art, and for many of us, it makes the difference for how well a musical offering is presented. We want our gear to work well for us. The key is to take care of our gear so that it will take care of us. If you have anything you'd like to add to this list, please offer your suggestions in the comments. I'm honored to share my insights with you here, and as you've probably gotten the sense of, I count it a privilege to minister to the members of Guitar Success for You as I share from my almost 30 years of experience doing this thing. If you want a glimpse at what we offer inside the membership, please head on over right now to GuitarSuccessForYou.com. That's GuitarSuccess, the number 4, and the letter U.com. It's designed for a very specific niche of guitarists, and perhaps you are in that niche. It could be exactly what your guitar journey needs right now. Thanks for listening to Guitar Serious Fun, and I'll see you next time.